for a little over a year, from 1966 to 1967, numerous observers in West Virginia witnessed a moth-looking creature with reflective-type eyes, a large wingspan, standing upright at times like a human, and had the ability to travel at speeds of 100 miles an hour, maybe, possibly fly. The book and movie Mothman Prophecies were inspired by it all. And with us now, Jeff Walmsley, the Mothman Museum Director in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. How are you, Jeff?
Great. How you doing?
Not bad. Thanks for giving us a couple minutes today.
Oh, no problem.
Last year, we did this Halloween show about the 10 most haunted places in Wyoming, and we're trying to branch out a little bit to try to find some of the 10 most haunted or monstrous or mysterious things in the world. And the Mothman kept popping up
naturally
on lists all over every time I'd do some searching for this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You've written two books on it.
Right, yeah. I grew up in Point Pleasant. As a matter of fact, I lived about four or five doors down from the people who saw it first. You know, the first official sightings in Point Pleasant were November 15th, 1966. And I had two young couples who were riding around up in the TNT area. That's about 7 miles north of Point Pleasant. It's an old ammunition dump area that the military used during World War II to manufacture bombs. But in the 60s is where a lot of the kids would go to drag race. And they came across what they thought. They thought it was a man standing in the road. It was about 11 o'clock at night. As they got closer, they noticed that this creature or being or whatever had wings flapped up behind its back. And as they got closer than that, they noticed that it had glowing red eyes. It took off running into what they called the North Power Plant, which is a vacant three-story bomb factory. That was the first official sighting. They immediately went to the sheriff's department, but on the way back into Point Pleasant, this thing flew over their car. They were driving about 80 to 90 miles an hour on certain straight stretches on Route 62, and this thing was, you know, flying over top of the car pretty effortlessly, and chased them almost to the city limits. And they went to the sheriff's department, told them what had happened. That was the beginning of about a year and a half of sightings. You had over 100 reported sightings to the authorities. Probably another 100 unreported sightings, people, you know, afraid of being ridiculed, made fun of.
And there was never any kind of an attack? There was never any people missing after the year or so that this was around?
No, there was never any physical harm done to anybody. There was a lot of mental harm and a lot of paranoia going on because these people couldn't figure out what this thing was. And even to this day, 42 years later, nobody has a valid explanation as what they were seeing. There was a lot of UFO activity at that time here. You know, you had all kinds of stuff going on, especially after these sightings. And then you had these men in black were popping up in town, harassing some of the witnesses and some of the newspaper reporters. So it was a big you know, a big thing going on. There was a lot of different aspects to the story.
And the men in black, I guess, were those people from the government looking around?
Some people thought they were. They didn't know. They never identified themselves. Some people thought they were alien type beings because they acted awful strange. You know, some of the witnesses said they never blinked their eyes and they just acted strange. They'd pick up a pencil and look at it like they didn't know what it was. So who knows? You know, that there's not a lot of concrete evidence on who they were.
And after they left, there was never any explanation on why they were there?
No. They never. If they were government or military people, they didn't. All they were interested in was keeping people quiet. They didn't want this stuff in the newspapers or anything. They made it clear that it wasn't to be put in the papers and stuff.
And you've interviewed numerous people who have actually seen this up close and personal?
Yeah.
Okay, and you talked a little bit about that, but I guess if we could get a description of, can you go into a little bit more detail on what this thing looked like? Was it hairy or?
Well, some of them said that it almost had a feathery look to it. The wingspan, 10 to 12 feet wingspan, the most common thing that they described was those red eyes. No facial features because they were, the red eyes were too prominent. You know, they said he really couldn't see much as far as facial features. 6 to 7 feet tall, ran very clumsily, almost like an ostrich, which brought in the theory that all it was a gigantic bird, you know, like a sandhill crane or something like that. But, you know, they said that this thing could shoot straight up in the air. Obviously, it chased the cars several times, you know, at high speeds. Wasn't really occupied with flapping its wings a lot. It was almost like a gliding type thing. But that was the main descriptions, you know, 6-7 foot tall, 10 to 12 foot wingspan, and glowing red eyes.
Is there any kind of piece of evidence, whether it be like a square foot of grass or anything, that's been kept, you know, as science has progressed? And I'm sure you get asked stuff like this a lot,
yeah.
Like the DNA stuff. Has there been one piece of evidence that's made it this long?
Other than the eyewitness testimonies and things like that, no. The Sheriff's Department did claim to have seen some footprints around the North Power Plant. At that time, I don't think they really knew that it was going to turn into something, you know, as big as it did. You didn't really have the technology back then, and no plaster casts or anything were made. But you know, they were definitely looking for some sort of a physical evidence and stuff. No photos or anything. Just a, you know, like I said, that many people seeing the same thing, describing the same thing, really convinced a lot of people that they definitely had seen something.
And we've been talking with Jeff Walmsley for the last few minutes. He is the director at the Mothman Museum in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. You guys got a website there people can go to for more information on that?
Yeah, we've got three websites. We've got mothmanlives.com, mothmanmuseum.com, and then also mothmanfestival.com. We do a festival every year.
And you got a couple of books, too?
Yeah, first book is Mothman, Facts Behind the Legend. That came out in 2001. And the second book I did was Mothman, Behind the Red Eyes. Came out in 2005.
Has there been any sightings since the 60s?
There have. I get emails constantly, you know, through the websites and stuff from not just Point Pleasant in that area, but all over the world. You know, people seeing these gigantic birds and thunderbirds and things like that, you know, and whether they're related to what happened in Point Pleasant, you know, who knows, but I think there's still things like that going on.
Do you get a lot of strange questions?
Oh, yeah.
What's the craziest question you've gotten from somebody that you're like, oh, my gosh?
Well, not so much questions, but more theories about what it was, you know. I've had people tell me that it was the military experimenting with the jet packs, you know, the packs they put on their back and flying with goggles on and stuff like that.
There was a craze in the in the 60s, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was.
In like a mid-60s, I don't know what
it is. And all the James Bond movies and stuff.
That must have inspired it, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, who knows, but that's part of the fun about looking into the Mothman legacy. It probably never will fully be explained.
All right, well, thanks for giving us a few minutes, Jeff Walmsley, right there from the Mothman Museum in Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
Thanks.